A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went about in Galilee. He would not go about in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. But after his brethren had gone up to the feast, then he also went up, not publicly, but in private. Some of the people of Jerusalem therefore said, "Is not this the man whom they seek to kill? And here he is speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be that the authorities really know that this is the Christ? Yet we know where this man comes from, and when the Christ appears, no one will know where he comes from." So Jesus proclaimed, as he taught in the temple, "You know me, and you know where I come from. But I have not come of my own accord. He who sent me is true, and him you do not know. I know him, for I come from him, and he sent me." So they sought to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him, because his hour had not yet come. Two of the great feasts of Judaism were the Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of the Dedication. And St. John talks about Jesus being present in Jerusalem for these celebrations, and they act as the framework for his discourses about the Good Shepherd. Well, first of all, what was the Feast of Tabernacles about? It was one of the most important of the great feasts of Judaism, and was a time when many Jews would make their way to the temple to celebrate it. It took place in September or October. So it was a farmer's feast originally, when the harvest had all been gathered, the olives pressed and the wine made. The farmers would give thanks to God for the blessings he had given them. But there was another aspect to this feast. The people built themselves huts out of branches, and they lived in them for 7 days. And that was a reminder of the time they spent in the wilderness of Sinai, following Moses, one of the great shepherds of Israel. So this feast was designed to restore their memory, to bring them back to the fundamental choice God made of them. Not because they had anything to offer him, not because they had particularly pleased him, but because, for some mysterious reason, he just loved them. So their existence was simply the gift of God. They didn't make themselves into a people or a community. They did not create themselves. It was the power and will of God that had brought them into being. As they confessed every year at the Feast of the Passover, "My father was a wandering Aramean." Originally, they were wanderers, having no home, no base. They were unrooted and vulnerable to any threat from those whose territory they crossed. But God found them and made them into a people. God, the Almighty Shepherd, gathered the lost and scattered sheep and made them into his flock. When the people of Israel lived in booths for a week, and a week is the unit of creation and recreation, God made the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, so a week is the following through of that divine creative cycle. So when the people lived in booths or huts for a week, they were reminded that in a sense they were still on a journey, being created and recreated. They were still aliens, strangers in the world in which they lived. And they shouldn't be tempted to settle down and act as if the pilgrimage were over. They hadn't arrived. They were still on the way. The land was not entirely theirs. It was the place of communion, where humanity and divinity could meet and talk, as they did in the original Garden of Eden, before Adam's sin destroyed that harmony. During the Feast of Tabernacles, the flimsy and precarious huts set up all round and in the city must have contrasted with the high, strong stone walls of the temple. The temple was to be a sign of the permanence of God's presence with the people. It was the place where he dwelt in their midst. But was it really a house, or was it a prison? In building God a house, had they tried to domesticate him? When Jesus goes up to the temple for the Feast of Tabernacles, the process of separation between himself and the leaders of the people intensified. So they sought to arrest him, as St. John tells us at the end of our Gospel passage. The temple was really the sheepfold of Israel. It was the place where the flock of God gathered. His enemies are hostile to him because Jesus begins to take over and undermine the great religious images of Israel. And he does that in his great I Am sayings. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. When Jesus was in the temple for the Feast of Tabernacles, he would have seen the various liturgical services that were celebrated, especially on that feast. Each day, water was brought from the pool of Siloam and poured out on the altar in the temple. This was a reminder and a symbolic reenactment of Moses producing water from the rock, which gave life to the people of Israel when they were dying of thirst in their pilgrimage across the desert. It was a symbol of God's promise that one day water would flow from Jerusalem and its temple. And the temple wasn't only the sheepfold of Israel. It was a symbolic recreation of the Garden of Eden. In Eden, four rivers flowed to water the earth. So living water would flow from the temple that was the meeting place of God and humanity. Later in chapter 7 of St. John's Gospel, Jesus says, "Let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink. He is the living water. The living water will flow from him." No wonder those who heard him were scandalized. They realized exactly what he was saying. The choice of Israel, their pilgrimage through the desert, the ministry of Moses and of David, all were leading not to the stone temple built by King Herod, but through it to Jesus. While the water is poured over the stone altar, Jesus, who is the new cornerstone of the people who will be built into him through the living water of baptism, cries out, "I am that water." The focus has shifted. It's not this place, it's this person, the living God in human flesh, which is now our center. Another liturgical act on the Feast of Tabernacles took place at night. Huge candelabra were lit inside the first court of the temple, and their light shone out not only over the temple, but over the whole of the city. As with the water at the Feast of Tabernacles, so with the light. Jesus says to those around him during the celebration of this feast, "I am the light of the world. The light no longer shines from the temple. It comes from me." So all of this rich theological and symbolic language forms a bridge between the two great temple feasts, the Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of the Dedication. Both of them were feasts for the recapturing of memory. We all know, however, that sometimes our memories play tricks on us. We don't always remember things just as they were. Sometimes we remember the past as being better than it was, and sometimes we remember it as being worse than it was. Sometimes there are things about our own past that we prefer to forget, and we try and obliterate them from our memory. If Tabernacles was a reminder of God's goodness in choosing the people of Israel, the Feast of the Dedication was a reminder of his goodness to them, despite their unfaithfulness to him. In the context of these great feasts of Tabernacles and the Dedication, Jesus shows himself to be the Good Shepherd. Those who hear his voice follow him through the wilderness of rejection by his own people, as he leads them to the promised land of the resurrection. Unlike Moses, who led them through the original wilderness, Jesus will enter that land, and in entering, he will bring us with him.